Ave Maria.
Welcome back, everybody. Today is day 20, and we are focusing on the call of a life of total consecration to God. So first off, we just wanted to say thank you for everybody who's been participating in the comments. And if you have any, you know, questions or insight, we would love to hear from you. So don't be shy.
So here we go. The third and final apparition within the apparition. So Sister Lucia says that she saw Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
Sister Lucia writes, "In my view, the apparition of Our Lady of Mount Carmel means total consecration to God. By showing herself clothed in a religious habit, she wished to represent all the other habits by which those who are totally consecrated to God can be distinguished from ordinary secular Christians."
The visibility. Sister Lucia makes a point about the habit and how it just sets one apart. And it's very true. I know when I'm traveling in airports, and occasionally I will see a sister or a priest, they stand out. And it's so beautiful because out of the sea of people, there's one that kind of rises and is a sign of total consecration to God. And it's so encouraging. So on a personal note, Janelle, have you ever considered the consecrated life? I mean, it's too late now.
I made vows.
Right. I know your answer, but share with everyone your journey about this.
Well, yes. So at one point, I think I was about 26 years old. Ken's cousin had actually just recently entered, at that point, or entered into an order called the Dominican Sisters Mary Mother of the Eucharist. And I was at a point in my life where I was studying to be a teacher, and I really felt a desire to abandon myself completely to God. And I didn't know really what direction He was leading me to, whether it was married life or religious life. But there was something absolutely beautiful about these sisters, and it was drawing me to them. So I flew to Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Which is a long way from
It is a long way from little Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada. Yeah. And I went to this Come and See weekend, and it was absolutely beautiful to see a little bit of their life of prayer, a life of the work that they do, and just to kind of get an idea of the charisms of that specific order. And, you know, at the end of that time, the sister, Sister Joseph Andrew, said that if I wanted an application form, that she would gladly give me one. And then she also asked me another question. Do you want me to go to this part? Oh, okay. So she asked me this other question, and just for a little background knowledge, prior to this, Ken and I had dated for, I think it was 2 years. We had dated for 2 years, and we were broken up at this point. There wasn't really any thought of us maybe getting back together at this point. But anyhow, she asked me, she said, "Have you ever been in love?" And right away I said, "Yes, I have." And she said, "If this man were to ask you to marry him today, what would you say?" And out of my mouth came the words, "I would say yes." And I realized, oh my, I've got some stuff to deal with. And then a few years later, we got married, and I didn't enter the Dominican Sisters.
I'm glad.
But you know what? I truly feel that my life could have been beautiful as a sister too. But here we are, and I'm so happy.
But this is what the Lord calls all of us to in one sense. We must die to ourselves and graft ourselves onto our Lord. And our religious sisters and our priests, they do this in a beautiful way that's visible. They take vows of chastity, not because marriage is bad and children are bad, but because to live this way requires something different. And it's really a sign of the foreshadowing of heaven, where we are totally offered to God. I also think about my brother, and if you don't know, he's a priest. I just thought that when he would be ordained, it would be like kind of like a big wedding, because our family had many big weddings up to this point, you know, 7 kids. And when we entered the cathedral, I was shocked, because the first thing was, it wasn't just our family. Our family was there, and all the extended cousins and uncles and aunts. But then there was the family of the diocese. And I remember sitting near somebody who I didn't even know. And I'm like, you kind of wouldn't do this in a wedding. Mm-hmm. You know? They were, in some sense, strangers. And then to witness my brother just lie down on the ground and offer himself to God, I just felt like a real sense in my heart that he's not ours anymore. And he belongs to the church. He belongs to God in a new way. And I understood that it was a letting go of a relationship. But when I witnessed that, I also heard in my heart, it was clear. It was like, it's like his yes will affect the salvation of your family. And as the years have gone on, I definitely can see how beautiful his priesthood is. Has our relationship changed? A little bit, because he's not around for family gatherings and Christmas, you know, those times when you typically would get together, because he's got a parish. But his priesthood has blessed us in such a huge way, ways like having the sacraments available at family gatherings or baptisms or even confirmation during COVID lockdown, where we didn't have access to that at that point. And he was able to confirm one of our children through the blessing and permission of the bishop. So huge blessings. And then another time where my father had an accident, he was in emergency in the hospital, and I got there right before my brother, Father Dan, and Father Dan was able to give him the anointing of the sick. And just to see what a gift his priesthood is personally to our family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think about our children.
Mm-hmm.
Would it, God be so kind to us as to give us a priest or a consecrated sister? We'll leave that to him. That's God's will. But so often, I think parents fight this. We think our children are our own. They're on loan. They're a gift from God. And it is our duties as parents to help our children discover the call that God has in their life. But we need to foster it.
Mm-hmm.
St. John Bosco gave a tremendous amount of priests to the church. And his thought was this: one out of every four people is called to the religious life or priesthood. Now, I'm not saying that he got the ratio perfectly right, but if you look at the church today, we're not even close to that. Is it 1 out of 10, 1 out of 20, 1 out of 50? Even if it was 1 out of 100, this is an appeal to you as parents and grandparents. Are you fostering vocations in your family? Because vocations come out of families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, grandparents, maybe you got grandchildren. Are you praying for God's will in their life? They need you. Parents, mm-hmm. How do you see the future of your children? Have you picked the college already for them? Forget the college. Think about what is God's will for their life.
You know, even you have an uncle who's a priest. I had an uncle that was a priest.
Yeah.
It's a gift.
Yeah, it sure is a gift. Sure is a gift. And how can Mary help? Well, Mary mm-hmm. was totally consecrated to God.
Mm-hmm.
Think about when this consecration, it's an entrustment of our lives to Mary. That's just not our life. It's just, it's everything about our life. Every temporal need, every eternal need. Everything that God has placed in our hands to entrust it to Mary means, Mary, it's all yours, including our children
mm-hmm.
and our vocation.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, let's pray. Let's pray for all those consecrated souls and for the future, ones who need to hear the call.
Mm-hmm.
Our Lady of Fatima,
pray for us.
Hey, thanks for watching. Would you like to spread the message of Our Lady of Fatima? It's simple. Just share this video with others.
And to get all our regular scheduled videos emailed to you, head over to CatholicSpeaker.com and sign up. God bless, friends.